Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio, episode number 323. It is May 27th, Saturday. We're recording this actually in the afternoon, which is out of the ordinary for us, a little inside baseball, not that anyone cares. But yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend. The weather is gorgeous outside. I have already done an 8 mile walk slash run this morning and showered, and I'm feeling good. And I meant to show you this before the podcast started, but boom, got my little bucket of beers, some ice.
Unexpected.
Those are going to get polished off today. I'm going to start doing the podcast too, by the way. So yeah, it's a relaxing weekend, or nationwide sort of. So we're going to keep this episode relatively short and light, not heavy. Not a lot of Eagles news out there. Maybe the only thing it's kind of newsworthy, like they brought in DJ Fluker we'll get to all that later, but for a workout this past week. But OTAs are coming up, and then we got a really long break in the action between, OTAs, which are the first week of June, until training camp begins, which is late July. So a lot of time to fill in between then. This is the time of year that I'm sure Brandon loves too, but I certainly love this time of year where I can get a little bit of a break from football. But anyway, before we get into sort of the meat of the podcast here, I know that I need to know where I can find the finest meat snacks in the land.
Before we get into the meat of the podcast, it's time to get into the meat of the BGN Radio sponsorship.
That one up to you, nice.
There you go.
Totally volleyball set to you, slamming home.
Jimmy cracks open to be here. Righteousfelon.com. You don't want to go to that website. It's free to peruse the website. You go to righteousfelon.com and you see what you want. They have the best meat snacks in the land available to you there. You use discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. I think my mom just got some more for my dad earlier this week, and she said like they shipped it incredibly fast. It was there like the next day or something. Like, so
I remember that at Christmas, Christmas when I'm sure they're really busy. Yep. I got mine pretty fast too.
So, I don't know, how that works depending on different areas, because we're both more local to the area, but, hey, the point is they have good service in addition to a really good product. So why not give them a chance? Righteousfelon.com, discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. And same discount code works at wildnaturepet.com. I imagine a lot of people are hanging out with their pets in the nice weather. Why not get them a dog treat too? And you can do that at wildnaturepet.com. But Jimmy, gigantic episode today. Huge episode. Very important. Very serious episode. Definitely not mailing this in by kind of just riffing on whatever topics that are around. It's very serious. I think we have to start,
with Butters?
With Butters.
Yeah. He celebrated his 17th birthday yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
17, buddy.
That's crazy. I didn't know, cats were, honestly, any kind of animal, pet animal lived that long.
Yeah, 17. He's still spry. He still runs around, I let him outside sometimes.
And, really?
He'll go outside. He'll hang out. They say that takes some lives off of cats' ears. Due to, accidents, things they can kind of get into outside.
Years off of cats' lives?
Yeah. Typically, outside cats don't live as long as cats that are...
You said lives off of cats' years.
Did I?
The drinking has started early for Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. I had one sip. he desperately wanted to go outside, so I let him outside. Anyway, yeah, he turned 17. I think he's got a good chance at 20. Because he's still plenty spry, he's healthy. Yeah. He had a little. I think I mentioned on the podcast previously. He had a thyroid issue, which was actually good news compared to what it could have been otherwise. And took medicine for that. It's all cleared up. He's good to go. He's rolling. He's meowing. He's biting ankles when he's hungry. He is he's 17 years young, I would say.
Happy birthday, Butters. Butters, yeah. Well deserved. And I agree. When I had to record at your place earlier this year, or I guess that was last season, late last year. Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, I never would have guessed he was that old, because I know he's been around for a long time, because I know you've like brought him up in your writing, but he didn't seem that old. So happy birthday to Butters. Probably second behind the Butters birthday news is the fact that I would say, Jimmy, Jonathan Gannon's Arizona Cardinals released DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And with any kind of prominent player who gets released or put on the trade block, or not even, just their name is out there in some way, the natural question is, should the Eagles go after that player? So I give it to you first.
Yeah, I'm going to give the same answer that you gave, basically, during draft season when the name Jackson Smith and Jigba was coming up as a possibility for the Eagles in the first round. And your rebuttal to those suggestions were, it's not Madden.
Yep.
Like, you can't just add like all these wide receivers and keep them all happy, because you have two legit number one receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert. Those three guys are going to command. I mean, Dallas Goedert, to a lesser degree, I think he's a pretty unselfish player. Like, he's not going to, he's not going to lose his mind if he doesn't get that many targets. But
yeah, but like, Devontae, he also had to split targets time early in his career with Ertz, and I think he kind of like is relishing at not having to do that anymore.
True. I mean, they certainly all want their targets, but absolutely, Devontae wants his targets. He's been shown frustration at the end of games, more so in 2021 than 2020 when he was a rookie, even. Showed frustration when he wasn't.
Well,
when
there was the week two thing where he didn't get targeted in week one officially,
right?
To the Lions,
right.
And they made like a concerted effort to talk him up that week, like leading up into the game, yes. And then get him the first target of the game.
Yeah, and then also AJ, I forget what game it was after. I think they were both Giants games actually, where they kind of showed real emotion. Devontae in 2021. After the Rager game, where Rager dropped the two passes at the end of the game and they lost, he was visibly upset at the end of that game that he wasn't getting the football. And then AJ Brown, I think also against the Giants this past year in the divisional round of the playoffs, I believe.
In a game they won by 31 points.
In a blowout. And he was unhappy with his targets in that game. So, you add a guy like Hopkins, and the type of receiver he is, he's a high volume guy. Like, he's more of like a possession receiver, for lack of a better way of putting it, than like a deep threat kind of guy. I mean, he can win at all three levels of the defense, but he's a high volume guy. And what kind of money is he gonna want from whoever signs him? Like, he's not just gonna be like, yeah, okay, I'll play for $4 or $5 million, and just because I'm ring hunting or whatever. And he can, by the way, he can ring hunt and still find a team that needs a receiver, like the Chiefs. Or the Bills or whoever.
Patrick Mahomes.
I just don't see this as a fit in any way.
It is worth noting that Hopkins said Jalen Hurts is one of the five quarterbacks he would like to play for, ideally. Certainly, like, you can't, and it's never say never to me. It's not like a 0% chance they would sign him, because there is a world where like all those receivers kind of agree in theory to take less, and he is more worried about a ring than anything else, and he takes less. I don't think that's realistic, but I'm saying that's the path to that happening. I think it's a very unlikely path. By the way, the AJ Brown quote from after that Giants game, quote, they throw me quote, they throw the ball to me 100 times. I'm going to want it 101 times. Me personally, I just feel like I can change the game at any moment. Getting the ball often keeps you going, keeps you in a rhythm. It definitely puts you in a zone. You're locked in. Of course I want the ball. So, like,
as he should. I mean,
I agree.
You want every receiver that you have to have like an ego and, to want the ball and to want to affect the game. It's got to suck being a receiver and running routes all day and not getting the ball.
Well, yeah. Especially if you're like Quez. Yeah. Cause like, he's not seeing a lot of targets like that. Yeah. He's just, I think he has, if I'm not mistaken, I think he has like the lowest amount of targets per route run or something like that last year. It's like something in that vein because of how much he didn't get the ball. But I kind of did the math on this a little bit. So last year, the Eagles, their big three in terms of targets per game, AJ Brown was at 8.5, Devontae was at 8, and then Goddard was at 5.75. So together, that's 22.25 targets per game. That is 74% of Jalen Hurts' average 30 attempts per game. And the fourth most targeted member of the offense there was the aforementioned Quez, who only saw 3 targets per game.
Yeah.
And then Kenny Gainwell was right behind him at 1.7. He was fifth.
Okay.
Like, so where are you fitting DeAndre Hopkins, who averages 9.4 targets a game over his career? Like, how are you fitting that in and keeping him happy and also everyone else happy? And even in that world where I said unrealistically, where the Eagles players like agree to, hey, we want to win. It doesn't like we'll take fewer targets if it means we can get DeAndre. That's fine. If that like, okay, I don't think that's realistic. But even if that happens, it's a two-way street. DeAndre Hopkins has to agree to that. And I don't see why he's agreeing to that, especially when like it's not just targets for the sake of ego. It's targets for the sake of, that's like how you get money. You have to produce, you have to put up stats and catches to get paid. So like you're messing with people's money here. I mean,
I think that's why Zach Pascal left in free agency, by the way.
Sure. Yeah.
Like he was happy. He was happy to execute the role that he was asked to do this season. But ultimately, you know, if you don't get targets, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go somewhere, I think, where he could find targets. Certainly wasn't going to be in Philly.
And he went to the Cardinals, where DeAndre Hopkins is now leaving. So now he will probably get, not like he's not going to be their number one, but like he'll get some kind of top three share, I'm guessing, there. Or I don't know the receiver situation as well. But in any case, by the way, the odds to teams with the best odds to land DeAndre Hopkins per our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Eagles are, there's 7 teams ahead of them. Eagles are plus 2,000. So for context, if you don't know what that means,
like 20-1.
You would bet $100. If you bet $100 of your money, you would win, or you'd be $2,000 richer. So not a likely thing. Not viewed as a likely
thing. Who are the top three on there? Do you have that pulled up?
Top three are the Bills, the Chiefs, which I think the Chiefs, you know, they make like too much sense.
Yeah.
Like you're playing with Mahomes and the Jets.
Okay.
And then the Ravens right behind. I don't know, but the
Jets kind of have a bunch of receivers, don't they? And they just
bring
a bunch of guys in for Rodgers. Anyway, we should note, by the way, like, it is a need. Like, the Eagles do need more depth at wide receiver, in my opinion. Because if somebody on the outside, well, more specifically, if A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith go down, suddenly Quez Watkins is now one of your starting outside receivers. And as we saw in 2022, I mean, we'll see if he can break out of, if he can rebound from a bad season. But he was really bad, not even just from like a making plays standpoint, like making the plays that the rare plays that come his way, he didn't capitalize on them, but also ran a lot of bad routes. Like he became unreliable in a way that like Jalen Hurts couldn't trust that he needed, that he was going to be in his route where he needed to be. And like, there were 2 different games at the end of the season where he basically caused a Gardner Minshew interception because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Jalen Hurts threw an interception because he wasn't where he needed to be. And that's a bigger problem than just, you know, like not make like the play in the Super Bowl. He had an opportunity to make a play deep down the field and just didn't make it.
Yep.
That wasn't an issue of him like not being where he was supposed to. Well, actually, it did a little bit.
I mean, he was slightly
there was
behind.
A little bit of that to it. But yeah, it's a big problem where when a quarterback can't trust that you're going to run the route the correct way. So he really has to have a bounce back season. But you know, certainly if one of those two guys go down, those are massive losses. Like we're talking like top, you know, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6 type players. Where you're screwed if they get hurt. So I do think they need to have the roster would be better if they added like a reliable vet, specifically on the outside. Like they added Olamide Zaccheaus, but he's a slot guy only. Like if AJ Brown or Devontae Smith go down, he'll be your starting slot probably, but it'll be Quez on the outside. So that's a much, much less threatening group, obviously, if you lose one of those guys. But now you're relying on Quez in that situation, which I'm not sure they want to do.
Yeah, no one is saying like DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't be like good to add to the team or fun in terms of like making them better and enjoyable, but it's just, I just don't think it's realistic. And again, from his end, from what he wants, I just don't think. And also shout out to a good friend, Tommy Lawler, who pointed out like he's working with that weird agent guy who like the NFL PA or whatever kind of like recommended not to negotiate with. So like there's some, in addition to like what we all just said, there's like some kind of weird layer there that I don't know that you really kind of want to get necessarily involved with. So that's like another kind of complicating factor. I just don't think it's going to happen. I would bet like a lot of money that it'll be any other team but the Eagles. All right.
Next thing. The actual news of the past week was that they brought in DJ Fluker out of the league in 2022. Mostly played right guard and right tackle over his career. You had mentioned he's played more right guard than right tackle over his career.
Yeah, I have the snap counts for that.
2021. What's that?
The snap counts for that over his career. He played 306 snaps at left tackle and then 2,354 at right tackle. And then the most by far is 3,724 at right guard.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So 2021, he was with three different teams. I forget who they were off the top of my head, but he was never on any of those three teams' active 53-man rosters. Got cut by all three of them. Played in 2020 with the Ravens. Actually played a lot for the Ravens that season. But that was really his last real NFL action. So he hasn't played a game since 2020. And the Eagles brought him in for a visit, which is at least noteworthy because he, way back in the day, played for Jeff Stoutland when the two of them were both at Alabama. He was drafted, was it top 10?
It was 11, drafted high.
It was first round pick in 2013, which was the same draft as Lane Johnson. I believe he was top 10.
It was 11.
The Chargers, 11. Okay. So yeah, he was a high pick. Had a decent enough career because at least he played until 2020. But I think overall, you'd probably look at him as a disappointment relative to his draft position.
Sure. He only turned 32 in March, so that's younger than I would expected for a guy drafted, I guess, in 2013. Right? It's like Brandon Graham's like 20. He was 2010. He's like 34. So I think he's like a little bit younger on the younger side for relative to his draft class. Also, you mentioned he played for Stoutland in 2011, 2012. He was also in San Diego when Sirianni was on the coaching staff with the Chargers from 2013 through 2016. So Nick knows him as well. There's some familiarity there. And to me, it's like, why not? I think he's absolutely worth a spot on the 90-man offseason roster.
Right. See what he can do.
See what we can do. We can never have too much offensive line depth. The worst case scenario is like, or not, well, the worst case scenario is he stinks and you cut him. But like you could keep him on the practice squad. No one's coming after him. He's been available. Like, seems like a guy that wouldn't hurt to have on the practice squad if he had to play in a pinch. Not ideal, but like, he has experience that's more than what could be said for some players. And I do think it's a little interesting considering the context of the right guard position, especially looking at his body type. He's like another bigger guy. And kind of dovetailing this into our an interesting article published by Joe Santoliquido for Bleeding Green Nation on Friday, May 26th, was him talking to Brian Baldinger, our good friend Baldy, recently, who I found out blocked me on Twitter. And I'm not sure why that is.
Oh, did he? No kidding.
Like, Baldy, unblock me. What are you? I've never said anything mean to you or about you. Maybe
I've been very mean to Baldy and I'm not blocked by him.
Yeah, what the heck? Like maybe like some like lighthearted ribbing, but not like, actually anything like personal or like just, like teasing or joking about like, because I think sometimes he gets a little overboard on some of his praise of player, but nothing like mean. Like I just respectfully disagree. So anyway, unblock me, Baldy, please. I don't really, I like watching Baldy's breakdowns. Why am I blocked?
Yeah.
I can't watch them anymore. Come on. Anyway, interesting quote from Baldy to Joe Santoliquido regarding the Eagles' right guard position, and it goes like this, Jimmy. Lane wants to play next to a big guy like Brandon Brooks or Isaac Samalo. He does not want to play next to Cam Jurgens, a 300-pound center. They're not going to get any movement. Samalo is much better than people gave him credit for. He didn't make mental errors. He comes from a football family. He had less than 5 penalties last year. The Eagles couldn't afford him. He played between 330 and 335 pounds, which is not,
that's
by
not
the way,
right.
His listed weight, but that's what Baldy said.
Yeah, and you
never had to worry about the guy. And he was large. Jurgens isn't 310. He's a pumped up 300. He's purely a center. Lane and Kelsey know that better than anyone. So that's the end of the quote. I don't know what's going on with the weight thing there, but Baldy's around, right? Like, he's around the Eagles and he's around some of these players. So
more
I don't
specifically
think...
he is around Lane.
Yeah.
So Baldy lives in Marlton.
Okay. Well, same way to dox him.
I think that's pretty well known, actually. I think
let's say South Jersey.
All right, he lives in South Jersey. So does Lane. Lane has his, of course, his barn with all his workout equipment and stuff like that. My understanding is that Baldy like hangs out with Lane at Lane's house and like works out and stuff like that.
Well,
so like they know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
So I don't think that this is totally coming out of left field. I think maybe Baldy's maybe exaggerating a bit, I would think, on the just definitively saying Lane doesn't want to play next to Cam Jurgens. That might be a little editorializing, I think, maybe by Baldy, because I don't think Lane would just come out and say, I don't want to play next to that guy. I do think that there is. OK, so we can look at like the weight that Baldy claimed, say, Amalo is at 330, 335, whatever he said it was. And we can look at the weight that he claimed. You know, I mean, Jurgens is, you can look at Jurgens. You can see he's not that big, like relative to the other offensive linemen.
Samalo looked bigger. Looks bigger than him.
Definitely looks bigger than Jurgens when you interact with the two of them in person. It's clear, like, Samalo is bigger.
Yeah.
Even though their listed heights and weights are pretty close. So you can list that stuff on paper all day, but you can kind of clearly see that Samalo's the bigger guy. And maybe he did play at a higher weight than what he was listed at. He was not 335 though. Like,
I agree.
On. That's about what Lane is at. Maybe a little heavier than that, but yeah. I mean, I can certainly see where Lane might prefer a bigger guy next to him. I think what was the reason given? Because he wants to be able to move people on that side of the line in the run game. Yeah,
and also I think it's because of the perception too that like Kelce is already on the smaller side, so you don't like Lane doesn't want like multiple smaller people playing next to him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when we get to OTAs if Lane is asked about that. Like, did you say that? You know, did you say that about Cam Jurgens? And if not, what are your feelings about playing next to him versus a bigger guy or whatever? Lane is almost honest to a fault. I don't think he's going to throw a teammate under the bus and just say, no, I don't want to play next to Cam Jurgens. But it will be interesting to see how he answers that question if he does indeed get asked that. But it's also like a legit training camp battle that we have on the horizon between Cam Jurgens and Tyler Steen, who the Eagles selected with a pretty high pick. Like he was,
65.
Oh, right. So is it still in the 60s? Mm-hmm. Basically like almost like a second round pick that they took that guy. So he played, of course, left tackle. Both at Vanderbilt and at Alabama. So now he's not only transitioning to guard, but he's also flipping to the other side. So it'll be interesting to see how he makes that transition in training camp and whether he is like legitimate competition. We'll be able to tell kind of pretty early on if he's got any chance at all. And then if he does have any chance at all, it'll be interesting to see like how much better he gets as training camp sort of evolves, as he gets more comfortable both with the position and then also playing on the right side. But, you know, both of these guys would not be playing the position that they're used to playing. Mm-hmm. Steen, of course, of tackle. Jurgens, of course, you know, having played his entire college career at center, actually really before that he was a tight end. And then he plays his whole college, almost his whole college career at center. So, yeah, I mean, it's a position where a tackle and a center are competing against each other for a starting guard spot. As you mentioned with Fluker, you know, I think that, you know, because you have that camp battle and maybe because, you know, Lane maybe, and we don't know, we maybe prefers a bigger player, that Fluker maybe makes some sense there too.
A couple of things to unpack on the, like, Jurgens not playing potentially. I mean, he was the 51st pick and
right.
Steen was 65. So there's a 14 pick difference. Like one of them is not a big difference. So that's really not like that crazy when you're thinking about the two of them.
Yeah, I think you just see second round pick and maybe third round pick.
Right.
And that seems like a bigger gap than it is. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's only 14 picks, which is nothing.
So there's that. And I do know in the past that. So Jason Peters did not like playing next to Evan Mathis. At least that's what I had heard years ago. He didn't.
No, that's legit.
Yeah.
It was more his play style than it was his body type or anything like
that. It was,
that.
And also it's not like he thought Mathis was bad or anything. It's just, it was something about the way JP wanted to like jump set like it, or the way that
right.
Mathis
and Mathis
did it.
Wanted to attack.
Yeah,
he wanted to attack whoever he was blocking. Exactly. As close to the line of scrimmage as possible. And what would happen is because Jason was taking these big jumps, that there would be a big gap in between JP and Mathis, and JP did not like that because it left him susceptible to inside moves.
And that's not the only reason I think the Eagles ultimately got rid of Evan Mathis, but that was not like a non-factor. That was more than a 0% factor than why Evan Mathis did not return to the Eagles, at least the way I understood it. So I'm not saying just because that happened with JP, it's definitely happening here with Lane, but I am saying that there's a precedent for this to some extent. Like it has happened before. And if I'm not mistaken, there may have also been a little bit of that with Wisniewski at one point in the past too, and why he wasn't playing when it looked like he was the better option than some of the alternatives at one point. So that's not like, it's not a fake thing. It's something that has happened in the past and could be happening. Yeah. And I don't think it's like Lane hates Cam, to be clear, but I do think in theory, he might want to have that bigger guy next to him. And that's actually something Solak has talked about a lot, our good friend Ben Solak, for years. Like Stoutland kind of, and the Eagles, they've liked bigger guards. They like tackle-sized guards. Mm-hmm. And you kind of mentioned some of the names there, like Brandon Brooks. So I think the takeaway for me here isn't necessarily that like Juergens is doomed and can't win the right guard job, but I think there's like kind of an assumption out there somewhat that's like it's just his job, it's just Cam Juergens' job, like he's just being handed the job. And I don't think that's the case at all with the presence of Steen. And I don't think it's like, again, if you're putting the odds on DJ Fluker coming in and winning that job, certainly it wouldn't be likely, but I feel like a non-0% chance, like if he comes in and he's in better shape and he has that body type and he has a great summer, he's, you know, going up against the backups, and then maybe he works his way into getting some reps with the starters. Like there's a path to that happening. I don't think it's extremely likely, but I do think the fact that you have the Steen pick, which was a kind of like a high-ish pick, and you're working out Fluker, who again, most of his experience has come specifically at right guard. Like I think all of that is signal that it's not like, oh, we definitely believe in Juergens 100% at right guard. And that's not like to say that Juergens isn't going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a very good center, but I don't know if he can play right guard.
Give me all the camp battles, really.
Sure.
I mean, like, I think Juergens is probably the favorite at this point. I don't know how I maybe sort of divvy that up in terms of percentage chances of winning that job, but I'd
throw a number
stack
up there.
I'd stack it. I thought, all right, we'll do that. All right, I'll go Juergens 60.
Oh, yeah.
Steen 30. Driscoll.
Ooh.
9.5. Fluker 0.5.
Okay. Yeah. See, but a non-zero chance. Like there's like a door to open, which is the point. Okay. I think I'd go lower on Driscoll than you would, and a tiny bit higher on Fluker, but like just we're kind of splitting hairs at that point. So that's kind of interesting.
But you're okay with the 60-30?
Yeah, I was going to say like 55 maybe for Cam. I think it's a favorite, but I don't think it's like a strong favorite.
But yeah, give me the camp outs because we got nothing. Like we got
We
got what? QB3. We got
QB3,
punter.
And I don't even think that's going to be close, by the way. I don't
think so either.
My guy.
We've never seen Ian Book, you or me in practice.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But I think, you draft a guy. He's gonna have every opportunity to win any kind of job.
And then
We got QB3, we got punter, we got safety, which is like, I think all three of them are going to play. So it's really not that big a deal, but two guys are going to win starting jobs of the three. And then
linebacker, kind of. I mean, it's probably going to be Dean not necessarily. I mean, Morrow could get beat out. He's not like guaranteed anything.
But who's going to beat him out, though?
Christian Ellis, baby.
I mean,
he could.
Ellis was possible.
Ellis had some juice last year, I thought, when he played.
He did play. He did play in some blowouts. He only got, I think it's 22 snaps.
But even on special teams.
On the regular defense last year. But he looked legitimately good in that extremely limited action. Maybe. TJ Edwards is an undrafted guy who found his way into the starting lineup eventually, so you never know.
And I feel like maybe this is just wrong, but I feel like anecdotally, I feel like linebacker is a position I've seen the Eagles rotate a lot in training camp, more than other positions in terms of who's working with the ones. You know, like coaches like to say, oh, we just run everyone with the runs, but a lot of times that's not true. Well, with linebacker, I've seen that be more true, I feel like, than with other positions. So in theory, like he could have an easier path. I said to Solak, because we did the jersey number analytics pod last week, and I was like, I feel like am I using this term right? Like Christian Ellis might have the highest delta on the team, because I think there's, I think he is the best chance. If you're looking for like come out of the woodwork contributor for the Eagles this year, like totally okay. like not on anyone's radar, I think he would be like your most likely guy from total, just like from no one expecting okay. anything from him.
I can buy that.
Because yeah. he has the clearest path. I think it's like the least settled position in front of him. And he's actually shown like just enough promise to be somewhat viable, but not enough to actually be on anyone's radar. So there you go.
Oh, and what slot receiver is the other and slot receiver battle this maybe. Yeah.
Although yeah. even I think that's still going to be a split in playing time.
Could be.
I think Quez, yeah. it's
they could both get used.
Roles. Yeah. I don't think one guy is glued to the bench all of a sudden. All right, Jimmy, let's take a break here, but not before we hear about Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Once again, righteousfelon.com. Discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. Look, start of summer is here. It's beach season. And what better way to go to the beach than with a bag of Righteous Felon Craft Jerky in your hand to snack on? They come in these little resealable bags, so you can have a couple pieces, close that bad boy up, and boom, you're having a great time on the beach or wherever you are. For hiking, too, a great, like, you know, hiking snack, you know, that you can pack, get some protein, get some energy. I've packed those for a kayaking trip one time, and it was a great time. So, Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. Do it. Jimmy.
Back after this.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back here on BGN Radio, Jimmy, what do you want to talk about?
I have one more thing on Fluker, by the way.
Oh, yes.
So back in 2013, before that draft, this is before I even got like my, you know, break to cover the NFL full time. It was right before I began working for Philly.com/The Inquirer, whatever. I had somehow gotten wind that the NFL had some kind of event in Manhattan that it was the day before the draft. And it was like all the, you know, all the people that were going to be in attendance at like the draft itself were going to be there, and you had access to them. And I applied for credentials to it. Somehow they gave them to me. Cause I didn't even work anywhere. Like I just had my own little crappy blog. Like that was it. And somehow they credentialed me. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I got credentialed to this. And I went and you got access to all these players. And I remember talking to Lane Johnson at that event. I remember talking to DJ Fluker at that event. Fluker was like really nice. And one of the most massive human beings I've ever met in my life. I was actually only reminded of this story because somebody tweeted at me, like they found an old tweet of mine from 2013 where from that night where he shook my hand and I tweeted something to the effect of like DJ Fluker almost just broke my hand. his hand shape grip was like, it was the hardest handshake I've ever experienced in my life. Like it actually hurt.
Wow.
So like there's that. But Wayne was being interviewed by this weirdo who was actually asking like every draft prospect all these weird questions. And I guess he had asked Lane something about like wrestling bears.
Yeah.
And do you remember that? So like Lane gave, and Lane understood like what this guy was doing. He's just being a goofball. And Lane was giving this long answer about how he wrestled bears. And like, I don't know if that guy wrote, I don't know if it was that guy who wrote it up as like Lane claimed to have wrestled bears in his youth, or if somebody, some other reporter had just kind of meandered over and hadn't heard like the goofball question that kind of provoked this response from Lane and just thought that Lane was talking about having wrestled bears. And but there's somebody wrote a story about Lane having wrestled bears. And then like he got asked about it after he got drafted. He's like, nah, I never wrestled bears. Like,
well,
like
yeah, obviously.
But like somebody actually wrote a story about that. You can probably still Google and probably still there about him wrestling bears or whatever. But the other thing with Fluker there too at that event was I haven't looked him up on Mock Draftable, but he, at the time, I believe he was thought to have the longest wingspan of any draft pick ever.
Wow.
So, or arm length or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to, you know, outstretch his arms from side to side, and like you had to turn your head like all the way to like, I had to like stand back. I took a picture of him and posted it or whatever, but just to have this was the guy standing and like outstretching his arms as wide as he possibly could. Like you could have fit like, you know, a human and a half like in between his two arms. That's how long they were. Plus, you know, how wide his body is as well. But yeah, one of the biggest actual human beings. And you look at his like his listed height and weight. It doesn't look that big. Like he's 6'5", I think like 340 something. But to actually, you know, stand next to this guy in person. And, you know, I've, you know, you and I have, you know, been next to plenty of other big offensive, defensive linemen in our respective careers. This guy was huge in a way that kind of hard to describe, but like, you know, in a way where like almost, he almost kind of looked bigger to me than like a Jordan Mailata, even who was like 6'8" and 360 or whatever.
He's taller.
But in a weird way, Fluker just seemed so much bigger, you know, being next to him.
I think when you get to a certain point, like my lattice height, like 6'8", I'm 6'9". I think you just carry your weight. The weight gets carried differently. You don't like look as
exactly.
Big
that's
for
probably
whatever reason. I think JP is the biggest player I've ever seen, like in person.
And again, 6'4", like 340, something like that. Like, doesn't look that huge on
the
paper.
Width, and also just like the straight, like I literally like he walked by me one time at training camp, and I legitimately had a feeling in my, not saying he would do this because you know he wasn't like a monster, but like I felt like if he wanted to, he could have just ripped me in half, like literally, like just taken me and like a phone book and just like I felt like oh my gosh, like that dude is like insanely just big and powerful and strong.
Yeah,
that was like JP for me. I feel like he's that guy. moving on, Jimmy. I wanted to bring this up. I didn't put it in the rundown, because I forgot, but I was reminded of it during the show. Not sure if you saw this. Shout out to at PHL Eagles Nation on Twitter who tweeted out this video. There was a clip that I think the Eagles had put out from like their different draft day calls and whatnot.
Oh, Nolan Smith. Yeah,
Nolan Smith one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm going to read it here for people who don't. And obviously, go watch it because I'm not really doing it justice by reading it. But Nolan Smith was asking Eagles DC Sean Desai to send him the playbook immediately on draft night. And the quote is, "Coach Sean, I know you're busy. I want that playbook. I want it. I want that PDF. I want to be on that effing field. I want to show y'all why you should pick me number one. I'm being dead ass serious." And that gives me like goosebumps reading that. Maybe I'm just a sucker for this, but like, I like anyone can say those words. You know what I mean? Like any person is capable
yeah,
for the most
it.
Part of like saying those words and putting that together. But like he has the cachet to like back that up with how he carries himself. And yeah, he very clearly meant it. And like, I am just like, I am so locked in. This dude is locked in, but I am like, I would want to put all my money into like Nolan Smith stock because I've said it before. It reminds me of like Jalen Hurts. Might be even more intense almost, but it's like, I don't know. It's kind of what the Eagles were saying last year about Jalen Hurts. I don't necessarily know what Nolan Smith's ceiling is for various reasons. I'm not saying it's a guarantee he ends up being a great player. But I will bet like any amount of money that he's going to hit whatever that ceiling is because this dude like wants it that bad. This dude wants it badly. Yeah. And I think you have to be excited about adding a guy like that to your team. Like that's not performative to me. Like that is like that's real and authentic. That's him. And like that gets me fired up.
You can tell in the video. You, if you watch it, you can tell he's just locked in on the conversation on the phone. He's not looking at cameras or anything like that. And that's what I was going to say. Like, that's what you called him when we did like our pre-draft.
Yep.
Like our mock draft, our last mock draft before the actual draft. Didn't you have him 10 overall?
I did, yeah. And I would have been happy with that. I stand by that. Like, I really, this is a guy I think you want to bet on. And if he, like, it's all like any kind of thing like that, you're making a bet. That's not to say like it's 100% chance it works out. But to me, it's like, did you regret betting on that guy? No. How could you regret betting on this guy is my point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what you called him before the draft. You called, like, it was very, he's a dog heavy in your analysis. And like,
he is.
A lot of you watched like any pre-draft interview of this guy, and like, you can tell that he can fit into any locker room in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's going to be accepted anywhere, because, and it's very clear that also he loves football and he wants to win. And it's unfathomable to me how he slipped all the way to 30. It's crazy that he got that far down and that he was still available for the Eagles there. And they wound up with both Jalen Carter and that thing that wound up with both Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith is just insane. And like, almost if somebody had that, I mentioned this after the draft, if somebody had that as like their, you know, like an Eagles only mock draft, like, I would have immediately just laughed at it and just completely, you know, like
fiction.
Thought of that. Yeah. Right. Just total like Homer type garbage, you know what I mean? And it actually happened that way, which is just unreal that they got those two players where they got them.
I think there's a chance, and maybe this is hyperbolic, that like Nolan Smith is going to be like the toughest dude on the field anytime he steps onto the field, or especially as he, you know, progresses in his career too, like, or if not necessarily the toughest, like the dude who wants it the most on the entire field. Like, this guy wants to make a big play or to win this game more than anyone else on the field, like, is that guy. And you can see it with like the way he plays, his energy. And again, not to relitigate the whole thing, but like, I think this is a great guy to have into the team, coming into the team, especially as Brandon Graham is somewhat nearing the end of his career here.
Yeah.
Cause they're different guys. I don't think they bring the juice in the same way. Different people, but I do think they both bring the juice in a big way. And I think when you lose that with BG one day, that's going to be a big loss, because players and coaches talk about the value of bringing that energy every day and that positivity. And I think Nolan being here has the potential, assuming he pans out and he earns that kind of leadership role and that respect with his play on the field, I think he has a chance to kind of be like a big culture setter here for a long time. So I'm very excited about that pick. I had to bring it
up. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited on the edge just in general, because you couple, you know, Nolan Smith's dog mentality, sorry to say that, but like, you couple his mentality with his just elite athleticism.
Yeah.
And then you add him to a group where you already have a guy. And by the way, Josh Sweat is really quietly becoming a star player. Like, his numbers have gotten better and better every year. I just wrote something about him this morning. Like, I timed all of his sacks in 2022. He had 11 of them. He got to the quarterback in less than 3 seconds on 8 of them.
Wow.
They're all quick wins, and his athleticism obviously was why they drafted him.
He was also
a steal in the fourth round. So you have those two guys. And then you have Hassan Reddick, who led the NFL, if you include the playoffs, led the NFL in sacks and forced fumbles and just is a ridiculous athlete. And then you have BG, who is, you know, just sort of like the obviously the power guy, but had his best, you know, statistical season a year ago and is, you know, sort of the ultimate, you know, kind of like team leader in the locker room. Those four guys, I mean, I don't know how, like, it doesn't get any better than that if you're looking at the rest of the rosters around the NFL.
Yeah. NFL.com did a ranking of like top five position groups in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Eagles defensive front was like the number one position group in the entire
really?
NFL
okay.
that they had ranked. That's up. That's the article for that is in the link on Bleeding Green Nation today. Mm. I went with that as the headliner. getting into some other topics, Jimmy, if you will. You did a mailbag recently for Philly Voice where you kind of mentioned a bunch of names that have been brought up in various capacities, not all necessarily because like it's an actual rumor. Some of them just, which is always a pet peeve of mine when a certain like someone will just like speculate on something. And then you have the aggregation Twitter accounts, which now have a blue check and people think, oh, that must be legitimate because the blue check system is dumb. And it's like, well, that must be a real thing then. And it's not, it's just someone like speculating, which to be clear, I'm not saying you can't speculate on things. Sure. That's part of the fun. You can discuss ideas.
Yeah.
especially as content creators, we do that. But you can't posit it as like, well, there's talk this could happen. Like there's sources saying this could happen, when it's just, it all yes. goes back to someone just bringing it up as idle speculation. So I just think you have to call it for what it is, not act like just because it's in the being discussed floating out there that it's definitely like a credible idea that has legs behind it. But are there any
yeah names? I mentioned this in the mailbag. Somebody emailed me about Julio Jones.
Yes,
somebody had written an article about Julio, like it's just, I guess, matching sort of the still available free agents right. to teams, and somebody linked Julio Jones to the Eagles, but it was just sort of like, you know, a fun type post, like there, no right. information involved or anything like that. And I get an email about about like you know, did you see the report about the Eagles being interested in Julio Jones or something to that effect?
Because well, you see it, you see and those like Instagram and Twitter accounts that they tweet out the picture and like a graphic, and then like, because it starts with that list, and then somehow it gets lost in translation that someone is saying that Julio Jones or the Eagles could happen.
Yeah. So then I, you know, I see that email and I'm like, what? Like, what did I miss? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like furiously searching like the Eagles and Julio Jones or whatever, and I find the original article. It's like, okay, there's just, it's not a report. So don't do that. Don't send me emails saying, well, now everyone's going to do it. Now everyone's going to do it. But yeah, if you're a kind person who doesn't want to wreck my day, yeah, please don't do that. Thanks.
So I guess, what are these names? I mean, we can start with Julio. Would you be interested?
I don't think that's that crazy, actually.
Okay.
You know, he may very well be cooked.
Did he play with J.J. Brown? Were they together on the same team? Weren't they?
The Titans traded for Julio right after June 1
okay.
in 2021. Because the Falcons were, they might have June 1 cut him, but then they just waited until June and traded him. And then that way they got the benefit of the, you know, spreading the cap sure. hit out over a couple of years. But yeah, he got traded to Tennessee. And at that point, everyone was like, holy crap, Julio Jones, AJ Brown, Derrick Henry, how are you going to stop that team? So yeah, those two guys did play together for a season in 2021. I hadn't even thought of that really, but, as far as his fit, you know, if he's ring chasing and I could see him maybe being interested in that, maybe not. Like, I think all these guys want to be paid, you know, at least something decent. But he played for the Buccaneers last year. Mm-hmm. Actually played pretty well week one. Probably had some injuries along the way, or some, you know, just banged up a little bit here and there. I don't know his full story of the season. But he wound up with like 300 yards receiving, somewhere in that ballpark. So obviously on the season, he wasn't super productive.
Yeah, he played in 10 games.
And then in the playoffs, though, he was like a rare player that actually showed up for Tampa in that game. He had 7 catches for 74 and like a really nice touchdown catch mm-hmm. In the playoffs. So I don't know, like, who would you rather have on the outside if A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith went down? Would you rather have Julio Jones or would you rather have Quez Watkins?
Yeah, I mean, Julio Jones, really.
So, I don't think that one is that crazy, but, you know, of course, I don't see that happening because I don't think Julio Jones is going to, you know, play for $2-3 million like Ndamukong Suh or like Linval Joseph did. Maybe, you never know. Like, he may look at the Eagles and go, okay, well, that's my only chance of winning a Super Bowl and, you know, play for basically nothing. You never know. I think he played for like $5 million last year for Tampa. Like, I think that's too much. You can't pay a backup receiver that kind of money, but for $2-3 million, sure, why not?
Well, it could be a case of like Sue or Joseph, where there's no need to rush to sign Julio Jones. Like, you kind of just and there's no rush for him to sign
exactly.
to be in the camp. He can kind of just chill out for a little bit, and then also maybe, God forbid, there is an injury to someone, then at that point you could sign him, or just have him on your speed dial in case there is a situation like, you know, something like you. Like, they have talks with him, you know, beforehand. Like, hey, Julio, like, if you're still out there and we have something come up, like, we'd love for you, you know, to come in if it makes sense for you at that point. So you can kind of, like, you know, have something in motion like that. It was like $5 million, I guess, last year. Trying to look at his last year contract. 1 year, 5.7. So, yeah. But also, again, he only had, like you said, 300-something yards. So he doesn't have that same kind of leverage. And he's been out there for a while. So like, you could get him for like $3 million or so, depending on when you sign him.
Yeah, either that or he's going to retire.
Yeah. Any other of these names that we want to talk about?
Well, the other two that I got asked about were two former Eagles and DeSean Jackson and Zach Ertz, which they're never going to sign DeSean again. Like, come on. They almost cut him because he quoted a fake Hitler. He posted
a quote
that was attributed to Hitler, but Hitler did not say
that.
Yeah. Just don't ever agree with Hitler. Hitler could be like, I like chocolate chip cookies, but don't agree with him on that. Just don't ever say Hitler was right about this. Never. Yep. There's no good can come of it. So that's a lesson that, you kids can kind of take home. But then also like the 2 years that he played in Philly in 2019 and 2020, I think it was, I think he missed off the top of my head, I believe it was 25 of 33 games. So he only played in 8 games in those 2 seasons, like always had something wrong with him. And you know, I mean, same thing, like is he going to be happy getting so few targets? Like, no. This is a guy that forced his way off the Rams because he wasn't happy with the targets that he was getting. By the way, that team went on to win the Super Bowl and he blew a chance to get a ring because he wasn't happy with his targets. So like he's just not a fit in any way.
I wonder if he got a ring still. I wonder if they gave him one. Cause you know what I mean?
I doubt it because you want to get off that team and they release you. Like you say, I don't want to play for this team anymore. And they
I want to fact check.
Don't the players vote on that?
I don't know. I think it's up to the team sometimes, because I remember Kenyon Barner got a couple, even though he was on like the Patriots for like, he wasn't with them when they actually won, but he was on the roster during the season at one point and they still gave him one. I think Kenyon Barner has like the most Super Bowl rings in the last like so many years because of all the different teams he was on. Like he kind of just worked out nicely where he was like the most Super Bowl winning player, which is kind of funny. And I like Kenyon, so good for him.
Yeah, I like Kenyon, yeah. Nice guy.
You mentioned Ertz as well. Yeah, I mean, like, it's not happening. No one's even, I don't think, I'm seeing a lot of talk about that, but, like, I guess you should get into that one.
Well, I mean, he's got a contract in Arizona where, again, off the top of my head, I believe his contract is for, like, 8.75.
I have the numbers here.
His salary is 8.75,
yep.
And I believe it's 8.5 guaranteed.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
So the Cardinals have, I mean, he's just not a good, first of all, careful what you wish for, because he wanted off the Eagles because he thought that it was going to be a long rebuilding process. So he wanted to be traded. He also wasn't happy, of course, with the offers that the Eagles were giving him for a new contract. So, you know, he wanted to be traded. And
also probably wasn't super happy that they traded Carson Wentz.
Right. And then when they traded him to Arizona, at the time, it seemed like a much better situation for Ertz. And then that season played out and both the Eagles and the Cardinals were one and done in the playoffs. And then 2022 comes around. Cardinals are 4-13. Eagles go and play in the Super Bowl in his new home stadium. So like, you know, careful about, you know, I'll transition to a different sort of saying here. The grass is not always greener on the other side. So, like, you know, he got what he wanted. He got traded. And now he's in a situation where he's with another team that is, I mean, even way, way worse off than what the Eagles were after the 2020 season. This is the worst team in the NFL, in my opinion. And they're going nowhere for a long time. They just have no talent really at all. And he's not a fit on that roster. So I think if the Cardinals could trade him for anything, they'd just be happy to get his 8.5 guaranteed money off their books. As far as his fit with the Eagles, no. Like, you know, the Eagles are going to take on that contract, first of all, for a backup tight end. I wouldn't even want to take on that contract if Zach Ertz got hurt for the season. So if Zach Ertz, like, tore an ACL or something like that, could you bring Ertz back? Because he has some familiarity with... Oh, sorry. Yeah. So if Goddard tears his ACL or whatever and done for the season, again, like, I wouldn't bring Ertz in at 8.5. But if the Cardinals ate some of that money and then, you know, you brought him in because he's familiar with the city, he knows what to expect, mm-hmm. you know, he has, you know, connections to a lot of players on the team still, you're comfortable with what he is, mm-hmm. you know, within your offensive scheme, then fine.
Sure.
But, you know, you're banking on a massive, like a devastating injury to the starting guy before you would ever even begin to consider it.
Next one I think we should touch on is Matt Araiza. Is that how you say his name?
Right.
The punter. Because I've seen a lot. There's definitely been a lot of that. Like, well, why do you, well, shouldn't the Eagles sign this guy? Because they need a punter. Yeah, and they certainly do need a punter. I agree with that part. But just because, it's my take on this, just because he was cleared of criminal charges does not mean it's like, well, it's a clear, crystal clear situation now. Totally no red flags at all with the situation. It's all just in the clear, and they can, it's a green light, 100% full speed go. Like, that's not, at least of my understanding, not the case. Defector Media had a good piece on this titled "The Matt Araiza Transcript Doesn't Have All the Answers," and kind of highlights some, I guess, unsolved or unanswered questions from the situation still.
Okay.
And obviously there's still a civil suit going on. So, like, I'm, to be clear, I'm not saying, you know, I know that there's guilt or whatever, not saying that, but I am saying I don't know everything, and I'm not, like, super comfortable just with people being like, well, he's cleared, so he's full to go. Like, I don't know. I don't think you, I think there's still things that, you know, you don't always know. And I think you put it well in your article here, where you put that, I have no doubt that Dom DeSandro has done digging on the matter, and Araiza himself. And you feel like if the Eagles were comfortable with bringing him in, they probably would have done it by now. And the fact that they haven't, I think, given the Eagles' track record with this kind of stuff, speaks to, you know, there being potential red flags or concerns still existing.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact of the matter is, as you mentioned, there's still a civil case pending. So, like, his legal troubles, you know, his legal issues aren't over yet even. So, and the other point that I made there too was, like, you know, you and I can watch a game or a bunch of games of a player, and we can have opinions on, you know, can this guy play or not? And obviously he can, but you and I just don't have all the answers on what happened. Yep. And not even just with that incident, just what kind of person he is.
That's the thing. It's not just about the incident. It's about like decision making and future, you know, issues. And yeah, it's just not cut and dried. That's my point. It's layered. There's like tentacles to this thing. You have to kind of really know who you're getting.
It's sort of unanswerable by us because we don't have all the information. I didn't know that defector piece was
everyone should give that a look.
I'm gonna check that out. Yeah,
it's definitely like points out fair unanswered questions that, you know, like, I'm guessing teams are having as well.
Sure.
And also, like, at the end of the day, I would love for the Eagles to have a better punter, but like, we're still talking about a punter, and that has to be factored into the equation here. Like, you're taking on a risk potentially, or, you know, a big thing you should not be doing at the cost of the upside of what exactly? Like, that's part of the calculus. So, you know, that has to be, I feel like, factored in as well. It's not simple to me. That's my point on the whole thing. It's just not a simple decision. Anyone saying like it's simple, you sign him, I just don't agree with that at all.
By the way, of course, the Eagles signed Ty Zentner.
Yes.
As an undrafted rookie free agent out of Kansas State. I actually asked Michael Clay, Eagles special teams coordinator, like, what do the Eagles prefer?
Michael Clay, who got a raise after the Eagles special teams, has only gotten worse.
Right. You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked him, you know, both things are important, of course, here between pin deep punting, meaning like trying to pin teams, like when you're punting like in plus 50, the opposing team's side of the field or close enough to it, pinning them deep, like inside the 10-yard line. Do you prefer that more, or do you prefer a guy that can just blast in open field punting situations? Like from your own 20, for example, you want him to hit like a 60, 65 yarder and kind of flip the field. Like, what do you prefer more? And the way he answered that, he didn't give it like a definitive answer, but he kind of leaned toward pin deep punting, which to me doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
The Eagles never punt when they're in like the opposing team's territory or like near or close to it. Mm-hmm. They never even punt like on fourth and one. So like
they shouldn't. Yeah.
It's because they don't punt in those situations. It doesn't make sense to prioritize that over, you know, open field puntings. I don't get it. Like why? And in my opinion, like Ty Zentner is more of like he's a better open field punter. Like he's got a strong leg. And I think Sipos has got kind of got like a noodle leg in those situations. He's a better pin them deep type punter which kind of, if that is indeed true, that like the Eagles prefer pin deep punting over open field punting, then Sipos probably is probably the favorite to win that job.
Oh, he already is, which is silly. But that seems like an area, too, where there might be potentially a difference between coaching staff. The coaching staff might prefer one of those to the other, where the in, because if I'm the analytics guys, like Alec Halaby or whoever, or Howie, whatever you want to call those people in the organization, I'm like, let's just keep Zentner, because this way it actually forces, in theory, the coaching staff to have to like go for it more, because you can't rely
on
that crutch.
He's not good at pin deep punting.
So we can't rely on our punter here in this situation. Like we only going to rely on him when we have to just totally try to flip the field and boot it all the way down. I totally disagree with that philosophy. I think
how he picks the 53
exactly,
which, to your point.
So, but I mean, he does, but he also, I think, you know,
he takes their input, no doubt.
Because you can't just be like F you and like totally, you know, or at least all the time. So
I think he can for the bike. I think he can with the punter.
He can, but he also, you know, I think they're part of his job is maintaining, you know, relationships to some extent.
Sure.
And, you know, there is some kind of, I'm sure, you know, he's not always just getting his way at every turn. He does have to sacrifice in a collaborative effort at some step of the way. He has to kind of at least consider other input. But I don't even know how much he cares about special teams. You know what I mean? He might not care enough to really like pick that battle. Like if Clay really wants Sipos, I don't know that he's like, you know, really wants to like, cares enough to be like, no, it has to be Zentner. Okay, that's it. Why don't we take another break real quick and then we'll come back.
You follow this a lot more closely than I do, at the very end of the draft. Was he like the first reported signing for the Eagles during the undrafted?
He was like second or third. I don't think he was the first. He was early-ish in the process, I feel like. Do you know which UDFA got the biggest guarantee? Did you see that?
Zingata, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who I call
wide receiver
was so lack last
Clemson.
Week. A poor man's AJ Brown.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, he's like what, 6'3", 217, and he's got sort of the same, like, he's not as fast as AJ Brown,
like,
of course.
A
but
very poor man's
tackle,
AJ Brown.
Tackle breaking kind of guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take another break and we'll be back to kind of wrap things up. But first I need to hear about Kristen Roach, Jimmy, of Roach Realtors and RoachRealtors.com.
Yes, she just got back, actually, from the closing. But yeah, her phone number is 856-906-9295. Again, 856-906-9295. If you're looking to buy or sell your house, call or text her, because she was rated by God as the greatest realtor in the history of the universe. Brandon?
Back after this.
Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors, Roach Realtors, Roach Realtors, Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors.
She's the greatest.
856-906-9295.
856-906-9295. Back here on BGN Radio, wrapping things up. Hopefully this has been an enjoyable listen for you, maybe on a drive somewhere to the beach or back from the beach, wherever.
Depending. You going to the beach or anything?
I am not a big, like,
I hate Memorial Day.
Yeah, go with the crowd person in a lot of ways, but especially when it comes to like literal traffic and that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not like, we have to do the thing everyone else is doing. No, that's not.
Thank you.
I am, my plan for Memorial Day weekend is literally like, probably see a couple friends, not even necessarily in like a party environment, just like hang out with a couple friends, whatever, and pretty much chill for the most part. And I'm really looking forward to just that, doing nothing.
Yeah. As soon as this is over, I am going to take my little bucket, my aforementioned bucket of beer.
Boom.
And I'm going to go sit out in my hammock in the backyard. Oh. And that's it. That's my day.
I think people don't do that enough collectively. Like, just like, I think, and that's like, I don't know if that's part of how we're just wired or it's an American culture thing, but like, it's just like, go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. It's never like just, hey, sometimes it's okay to do like what you're doing there. Just like literally nothing. Like, you can carve out time to do not a single thing. I don't think I do that enough. So I envy you. I think that's great. That's,
you know, it's funny you mention that, cause I definitely am that. And I had mentioned actually in some other mailbag, like once the draft kind of came and went, and then there was really not that much to do, I realized like I had time to do whatever I wanted to do. And I realized I don't even know what I like to do.
Yeah. I remember
like,
that.
I don't even know like what I'm into, which is kind of a weird thing. Actually, in fact, hashtag hobbies for Jimmy.
Hobbies for Jimmy.
If you have any suggestions on things that I can do for fun, fire away, because I really don't know.
I gave you a couple, I think, or at least one. I don't know.
Well, there's surfing that I like.
But
what using things
some
I like
of your
to do?
Creative talents, I suggested. I think that would people would do that. I think. Well, should I say it? Are you okay with me saying it?
No, go ahead. I don't care.
I think you should do a children's book. I think oh, that okay. might sound silly. I think people would actually really. I think people would enjoy it, and I think you have like the right sense of humor, and you like to like do your stick figures anyway. I think you could do a way to like make that into like a fun little. Read for both. I think it would be wide appealing for both like kids who could enjoy it at like a kind of a silly level, but then parents too who are like sharing it with their kids and they can actually enjoy like it's about the Eagles or there's some kind of tie-in like that. So I don't know, it's kind of a half-baked
idea. It is
idea.
More work though.
Sure. Well, it is, but I think it could be. I think it would be fun for you, and I think it would be like fulfilling and rewarding, and I think it would be like something you could be proud of and worth it. And it would take time, and you could do it over time. You know, it's a hobby at this point. So, or at least like you're doing it over time. You're not necessarily like rushing to do it. You're kind of just, it's like a long-term project to work on. But I don't know. I think you could do it. That's why I said it. Like, I think you can pull it off. So maybe if you're out there and you have the means to help Jimmy make that happen, and that's something that actually sounds interesting, then you should do it.
Yeah.
Or if you should reach out to Jimmy because he might, maybe he can make it work. I think you should try disc golf too.
You mentioned that.
Yeah. That's another one.
I had a couple people mention that after the mailbag that they also do that.
Yeah. It's because it's like very, it's a low barrier to entry. And I think it's easier than what we call ball golf. Some would say real golf. Because, it's just more, you don't have to like go to the course and like whatever. I've never actually gone like golfing like for real in like a 18 hole kind of way. So I don't know all the experience, but it seems to me from afar, you got to like, you have to do the dress code thing and you have to get a group potentially. And I don't know. I think you can have more fun or more freedom. You can also speed run the course, like I've seen people do that.
I like golfing, but golfing is like a 5-hour commitment.
Exactly.
Minimum.
Yeah. Disc golf is like 2 at most. Depending on which course you play on, it could be an hour. And again,
and by 5, I mean, people are going to be like, well, you play that slow. No, getting your shit ready. Before,
exactly. That's what I mean.
And then driving to the course, finishing up, and then driving back, whatever.
Like, that's a
5 hours
process.
Minimum.
Yeah, this is just you just get a couple discs and you go out. And I admire the people who like speed play it. They'll just they'll throw it. They'll come. So usually we'll be playing my little group, and someone solo will come through. And, we'll let them go ahead because they're trying to quick play where they'll throw it and they're running to go get it. And they play fast because that way they can fit it in a short amount of time. And also it's good exercise to keep running like that. So you can do that. There's different ways to play is my point. I'm not great or anything. I'm not saying I'm a great player, but it's fun. Even if you're not good, I still think it's fun. So that's one. What else? I don't know. I think I'm in the same boat. I don't have a lot of great hobbies that I do.
Yeah.
I like to play pool. I'm trying to get more into pool, get better at pool.
Yeah.
I like playing, I got a bar or whatever.
I don't know if I mentioned this before on the podcast. I think I've mentioned it to you, but I used to work in the Wall Street world, and I worked in I worked for some company that was trying to be all hipster and whatever. They had this loft kind of, office space, and they had a pool table in the middle of the office. So I'd play every day. At the end of the day, and I got really, really good when I was in my 20s, and I'm still okay now just because of how much I played then. But I wouldn't mind getting back to getting good at pool again, but I don't have a pool table right now. I got some very limited in my in the opportunities I have to actually play.
Agree. My friend in South Jersey has one, and I envy it because I don't have the space for it where I am. But so I want to get better at pool. I was playing nine ball with my friend Zach. Have you ever played nine ball? I think I've talked about that before.
Yep.
I think it's a fun time. I like that a little bit better than eight ball. And also because you can play it quickly. I think things like that sometimes. Like a game you can kind of just play repetitively, you know what I mean? Like as opposed to eight ball can take a long time, especially if you're both not great because you're just missing shots and missing shots and missing shots. And
you play a really bad game of pool,
Yeah. And I like to play ball in hand too, in part because it just makes the game go quicker. You know,
yeah.
When you scratch, you can just put it anywhere, as opposed to if you're putting it behind the line, like the bar rules, then like people are like messing up on that part. And it's just like the game's going to just go on forever. And I'm like, that's just not
right.
Fun. Like, I want to keep the game moving and keep playing more. So definitely pool. I think that's kind of going to be like my golf. Because a lot of people golf. I don't think I have the golf itch at all, other than disc golf. But I think like pool is going to be my thing.
I don't think there's a lot of bars actually in like South Jersey that have pool tables. I know there are a million of them in Philly.
Yeah.
But like near me, I can't think of anyone that really has them.
Some good spots in Philly that I'll shout out for pool. Pauly G's.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't say this because now too many people are going to go. And that's overestimating our influence. It's kind of a joke.
Right.
Pauly
An
G's,
hour and 10 minutes into a Memorial Day weekend podcast.
Pauly G's to me is a great spot because it's in the neighborhood and it's like 13th and Pine, and they have they have pizza by the slice you can get, and they have drinks and they have a pool table. It's really cool. And they also have like an old Atari system you can play on too. So play some like old school video games. That's a great spot. The Dive on Passyunk is another really good spot to play pool at. It's on like the third floor of like a row home turned into a bar. And then Tattooed Moms on South Street. That's another good one. Second floor pool table. So there you go. There's my big three pool tables to play at. I know people like Buffalo Billiards a lot, but like that, I think you have to like rent out the whole thing for an hour. Like you have to rent the table for an hour or something, as opposed to the other ones, you're putting your coins down, you know?
Right.
So it's a little bit of a bigger commitment, but certainly also a fun spot to play at. If anyone has, I guess, pool advice, send it my way. I don't want to play
Just throw it into that same hashtag, hobbies for Jimmy.
Yeah, throw that in there. So I want to get better at it. Not like to the point where I want to play for money or anything. I don't ever want to get to that. So I want it to be about fun, but I kind of want to, you know, get a little bit better.
Like in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, like in a Hustle.
Phil's like, break out Lucille.
Jeffrey, bring me Lucille. That's great. That's a great scene. Okay, we're losing steam here. Any final thoughts, Jimmy?
No, I'm just eager to get out and enjoy my beers and my hammock.
You? Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to go hang out with some friends after we record, so looking forward to that. Want to give a shout-out to a place I've shouted out before, Red Crest Kitchen, in addition to Red Crest.
That's the fried chicken place, right?
Well, Red Crest Chicken is the Red Crest Fried Chicken. They're actually doing it's not a Kickstarter. It's called Honeycomb, and it's a way where, this isn't an ad. This is just me. I like to, you know, people say support local business. This is me, I feel like me kind of trying to do my part in that. I like to invest in the community. And if you are the same way, then for I think as little as $100, you can invest in their little project they have on this website called Honeycomb, and then you get interest back. So that's cool. So you're helping support a local thing, and then you're making some money in the process. So go check that out if you'd like to. At the very least, you can look at their campaign page and see what they're all about. I legitimately believe they have some of the best, or like the best, fried chicken in Philly. So like, if you want to help support that, I think it's a good thing. If I'm not mistaken, maybe I am. I thought like there was a connection to the Eagles there in some way. Like Eagles, I'm sure Eagles players have had it at some point because it's the best place to get fried chicken. So yeah, go see if you want to support them at all. I think that could be fun and cool. And then shout out to the folks at Esti, ESTI, who sent me that hummus care package in the past, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out to say this is what I'm conflating the Red Crest thing. They were like delivering some stuff to the Eagles and the players recently. I got a source that from Esti that told me about that. So that's pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Just like Righteous Felon.
Exactly. So it sounds like they're going to be sending both you and I a care package. So looking forward to that. And we can kind of give some thoughts on that. Yeah, they're really generous with that. So we appreciate them. Not an official sponsor, but I legitimately one of my favorite. It is my favorite hummus. That's the official hummus of me, unofficially, because I think it's really good. Esti, ESTI. See it or get it if you see it anywhere. All right. This has been BGN Radio 323. Hope everyone's having a safe, responsible, fun holiday weekend, as obviously also we take the time to remember on Memorial Day. And we will be back with you probably next week talking about something. We have OTAs coming up at some point here. Are you going to those this year?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, last year I was in Italy for those.
Yeah, Seamus stepped in for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be there. I think they're next. So they're the 30th of May. So Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend, June 1st and June 2nd. And then they're also, I think it's June 6th and June 8th. And they let us into one for each OTA session.
So, but
so they'll
total,
let us
right?
in. Yeah, two total. So they'll either let us in the 30th, 1st, or 2nd. And then they'll let us in either on the 6th or the 8th. So we'll have practice notes, I imagine, after.
We will. They were shorter last year. They were like only an hour. So it wasn't like too extensive.
Yeah, even just for depth chart purposes, but, right. I think they're good for that.
It was enough to get like something. But it's not like, you know, as juicy as a typical training camp practice. It's better than nothing, but it's not a whole lot. But still,
right.
Listen to the podcast because we'll do our, you know, we'll do a podcast each day after those to give you what we saw there and give you a little bit of taste of the action before they kind of it's really like kind of interesting, not interesting, maybe it's really not interesting. It's different because in the past the Eagles used to have like heavier OTA schedule and mm-hmm. like it felt like the break didn't really start until they were done with mini camp. But now in today's world where they practice less than any other team, which is not right. a complaint, it feels like the break has already kind of begun a little bit. I know other like Eagles beat reporters who have like taken vacations and stuff already because there's been like a little bit of a lull here.
Yeah, like EJ was in Italy actually.
Sure.
And London.
Yeah. And I know Bo and Zach from Birth of the Friends have been, you know, off different places. So and more power to them. But I'm just saying like it's funny how like there's been a bit of a lull, but then they're gonna have these two practices and then there's gonna be like a big lull again.
Yeah, nothing again. From June 10th or whatever or June 8th or whatever it is until the
nothing
end
good
of July.
No good news that can come out between yeah, then.
Right.
So
yeah, it's funny, like the OTA is the one year where Nelson Aguilar and others went directly from OTAs, like the last OTA practice of that off-season.
That was 2016.
Went directly to, was it Delilah's?
Yep.
Directly to the club, the strip club, and bad things ensued.
kind of forgot about that. It's funny, like those little things, not little in terms of not trying to minimize the magnitude of the situation there, but like just like the things that pop up along the way that you kind of like forget about because there's so many different things like that. But in any case, we'll wrap up here. Follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gowton. And Instagram at Brandon Gowton, Jimmy Kemsky, same thing. Twitter, Instagram at Jimmy Kemsky. You can check out bleedinggreennation.com for my work, phillyvoice.com for Jimmy's work. You can check out the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed, where in addition to this show, BGN Radio, we have things like the NFC East mixtape. And then we had the guys going over the NFC East rosters on the EPA podcast. Plenty of other good content on the feed. John Stolness doing Eye on the Enemy. Plenty of stuff here for you to check out in addition to this podcast. So we appreciate you doing that, rating, reviewing, subscribing, all of those very supportive things. I like to point out that the podcast is free and a lot of other places charge for like their website content, you know, subscriptions and everything. We don't do that at either BGN or Philly Voice. And also the podcast is free. So if you could give us a rating or review, that's a nice way to support us without even having to pay any money. But if you do want to help support the podcast financially, and also do it in a way where you actually benefit, then you can go to righttosellem.com, use discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order, the best snacks you can get in the entire universe, or same discount code BGN15 at wildnaturepet.com if you have dogs or a dog that you want to give some treats to. And if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, there's only one person that you need to contact, and that is Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors and roachrealtors.com. And you can either email her or text her, call her at this phone number.
856-906-9295.
I have to throw it to Jimmy for the phone number each time because I never remember it in my head, which is kind of sad, but it's the reality. So we'll wrap this up and we'll be back with you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.